We're gonna study the whole book of the Bible tonight. Not really. We're gonna hit highlights here. The book of Jude. It's right before Revelation. If you're in the Old Testament, you're in big trouble. It's not a minor prophet. Book of Jude. I want to imagine tonight that I'm going to sell you a new product to restore your youth. I guarantee if you buy this product that you'll feel 20 to 35 years younger. You take these two times a day, it will solve all your problems. In fact, you can get this right now for $29.99 plus shipping and handling. I tell you what I'll do. Just for tonight, I'll send you two bottles, and all you have to pay is shipping and handling on the second bottle. It's only $49.97 for two bottles. JR wants two right now. Now, what should your questions be at this point? Usually in those infomercials, how do they end? Well, there might be a disclaimer, but usually the thing that gets me interested is they'll say, there is a money-back guarantee. Now, if you were to come to me and Judy said, boy, I would really like to have that. And she would say to me, what's your guarantee? I said, well, there isn't one. Does it work? Well, it may. Yeah, work as well as the other guys that are selling the same stuff. You know what? The product is only as good as the guarantee, isn't it? If you went to buy a new car today and they said, what's the warranty on this car, this 2014 Chevrolet? And they said, well, it's 30-30, 30 minutes or 30 miles, whichever comes first. Who would buy it? No, you want 7 years in the powertrain or whatever. You want a great warranty. No matter what the quality of the product is, if you don't have a guarantee, what good is it? Now, I want you to take that thought for a moment tonight and think about the doctrines of salvation. There are many, by the way. You help me here. What are some of the doctrines of salvation? Justification, redemption. You're on a roll here, Brad. Just come on up and preach here a little bit, Brad. All right, sanctification. What'd you say, Nathan? Atonement. Redemption. Ransom. Substitution. Those are all wonderful doctrines. And we could go on and on. I mean, when we think of the doctrine of salvation, there's soteriology. There's all kinds of doctrines. But let me ask you a question. What good is the doctrine of justification if there's no guarantee? Well, you come and you place your faith in Christ. It may happen, it may not. You may make it to heaven, you may not. You know, the thing that makes it powerful is the guarantee. And this evening, I'm going to turn your attention to a guarantee found in a great doxology in Jude, the last two verses. If you're in the Bible class on Tuesday nights, I warned you this was coming. When we studied the book of Jude, I said, I'm going to have to preach on those two verses someday. Here they are. Now, folks, this is great stuff. Here it is, the benediction, this doxology of praise. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. Now, maybe we ought to just read it three or four times and pray and go home. I'm not sure. Powerful words. This evening, I want to give you three things, and I don't want you to panic because the first point is like five or six pages, and the last point are a page each. So don't panic. But the first point is the records of God's ability. If you look at that verse, you notice it says, now unto him that is, what's the next word? Able. Able. Now, first of all, I want you to see as we look at the record of God's ability, the need for God's ability. Why do you need God to keep you from falling and to present you faultless? Well, there's several reasons, but the first one is really the whole text or context of this passage, and that is the apostasy that's going on in the historical time, in Jude's time, in our time today. You know, apostasy is a departure from the truth. Now, if you want to see apostasy, all you need to do is go home, turn the religious channel, and you've got apostasy. The majority of the churches in America today that you go to, you've got apostasy. The truth is being changed. Now, in this book, Jude tells us in verse 3, you need to contend for the faith because there is apostasy that is going on. And he gives them some past examples of that. He starts in verse 5 through 7. Let's see these past examples. He said, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Now, what people is he talking about? What people did he bring out of Egypt? Israel. He brought this whole nation out of Israel, and they saw the plagues. They saw the parting of the Red Sea. They experienced going across on dry ground. They saw all these miracles. And yet when it came time to go into the land, what'd they do? They apostatized. They did not believe, and because of their unbelief, they did not enter into rest, and God destroyed them all in the wilderness, except for Joshua and Caleb. He gives us another example. And the angels, which kept not their first state, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Now, this is a troubling passage, okay? I'm going to tell you what I think. I think personally, this is not talking about when Satan fell from heaven, because when Satan was cast out of heaven, he's still roaming this world. He's not chained in darkness. I personally, and I think probably most commentators would say, that these are the angels in Genesis chapter 6, that left their habitation of heaven and came down and either through demon possession or through some other act interacted with the daughters of men, and these giants were born, okay? And God took those angels. Now, these are angels, people. These are beings you're created to serve God and to worship God, and they fell. And they're in chains of darkness even to this day. And then he talks about somebody else that fell, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner give themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh and are set for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Here's a whole two cities that fell and apostatized. By the way, this is not the sermon, but how can you read that verse and think that homosexuality is right? I mean, can it be any more clear than that, folks? It really can't. And so he gives us these examples of people who have apostatized and God has judged. Now, here's the tragic thing. Look in verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Crept in where? Where have they crept in, folks? In the church. Unaware. Could they be here today in our building? Possible. Hope not. They definitely have crept into religion. There's no doubt about that. And look what they've done. They've turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. Now, what does that mean? Here's what they say. Brother Brad, we are no longer under law. We're under grace. And so we can do what we want to do. We can say what we want to say. We can act like the way we want to act because we're under grace. And so they use grace as a reason for wicked living. I tell you, folks, I've heard examples recently of this very thing in church. in churches. Now, folks, look. The apostasy is going on in Jude's time, but look what it says down in verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers when? In the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts, these be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. Sensuality in the church. Let me just, again, I've got so many rabbit trails I can get on here. You know I lead the music at the church. Sensual music does not belong in the church. And you get sensual music, you know what else you get? You get sensual people. And you get sensual standards or lack thereof. And you look at a church, folks, that uses sensual music, and there's all kinds of sensuality going on in the church. And it's going on today. And if we're not careful, it'll come to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church too. He said, look, you need God to have the ability to keep you because there's all kinds of apostasy going on all about you. And oh, my friend, be careful. Just because they say they're a believer and you get around them and they're doing that and, well, they're a believer, it must be okay. Hold my soul. Folks, there's apostasy everywhere. And just because it has the name Christian doesn't mean it's right. And in fact, unfortunately, most of the time, it means it's not. And I could spend the whole time, and this book does talk about all this apostasy. Folks, it's going on today. Not only do you face that every day of your life, but you also face yourself. You see, he says, God is able to present you faultless. He's able to preserve you, to keep you. Why do you need that? Because apostasy is all around us. And if you're not careful, it'll suck you right in. And not only that, but you've got to live with yourself. And I know myself. I look pretty spiritual, don't I? I've got you fooled. I've got the same old wicked flesh I had when I was born. And every time I have a decision to make, you know what the flesh wants to do? The wrong thing. Every time. The songwriter said it so well. Prone to what? Wander. Lord, I feel it. Boy, I do. And you're living with that old wicked flesh every day. And you're living with the old wicked devil, the anti-God, anti-good, who is trying to consume you every day of your life. And then you're living with a wicked world and it's trying to control you. So the flesh is trying to control you. The world's trying to conform you. The devil's trying to consume you every day of your life. Now, in our examples, we saw a whole nation that fell. We saw angels that fell. We saw cities that fell. How about you? You're a believer. You're a child of God. Can you fall? Now, I'm not saying fall into sin. I'm saying fall from salvation. Now, don't go to sleep right now, okay? You do, and you're going to go tell the pastor, you will not believe what he preached while you were gone. You see, folks, we're looking at the record of God's ability and why we need it. Because we've got ourselves. And we've got apostasy all around us, folks. And we need something to help us, to make us, so we can stand. Now, we've looked at the need. Secondly, the nature of God's ability. We're still in the first major point. Again, don't panic. This is the long one, all right? Now, look what he does. There's two things that God does for us. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, that is to preserve us. And then he's going to present us, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. You know, the simple matter of fact is, you cannot preserve yourself. If we could fall from salvation, if we could, parentheses, we can't. If we could, we would. Because, folks, if you're depending on yourself to get yourself to heaven, you got big trouble. I mean, think of Adam. What kind of an environment did Adam live in? Perfect environment. No sinful nature. Best time you could have. What did he do? He apostatized. He went against the truth. And you know what I found? I thought the older you got, the more mature you got spiritually, the more holy you became, and you know, sin wasn't. You know what I'm finding? You know what happens the closer you get to God? What do you find out about yourself? You find out you're much better. What do you find out? The closer you get to God, the worse you find out you are. See? And if you're around people who say, well, Gary, you know, you just got to hang on. You just got to hang on. You're in big trouble. Because you can't hang on. Listen to the statement. If any part of my eternal salvation depends on my power and ability and commitment and righteousness, I won't get there. Let me read that again. If any part of my eternal salvation depends upon my power, my ability, my commitment, my righteousness, I will not go to heaven. Well, brother, you gotta live it. Well, hallelujah, if my going to heaven is depending on my living it, I'm in big trouble. Folks, you are not able to keep yourself from falling. You cannot. You don't have the power. You don't have the ability. Now, that's all the negative stuff, okay? You all right so far? Now, the whole point is, if you don't see how bad it is, you're not going to experience how good it is, okay? So here it is now. He said, look, folks, there's apostasy everywhere. People are falling. You've got yourself you've got to deal with all the time. These are all hard things. You cannot keep yourself saved. You cannot present yourself faultless. You cannot, he said, but aha, verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. You say, Gary, you know what? I figured out, man, I can't do it. I've got good news for you. You don't have to. You don't have to. You don't have to hang on for dear life just hoping you're going to make it to heaven. You don't have to. Because we have a God, folks, who is able to keep you from falling. Look, if you are a true believer, if you have truly been born again, God is going to keep you from falling. That's just the truth. I'm not saying he's not going to keep you from sinning. My wife just started discipling our neighbor lady. This is so exciting. We've been trying to reach them for years. And they've come to services from time to time. And lately, her husband has even gotten harder. We'd given her the discipleship book some time ago, and it was just kind of nothing. And then just out of the blue, she called my wife and said, hey, I'd like to do this. We're excited. We're not really sure if she's a believer or not. We think she probably is. And today they met for the first time for an hour. Didn't get to the book. She said, I just have some questions. She said, when you get saved, do you ever sin? And if you do you have to get saved again? Well, that's pretty good question, isn't it? Exciting times. I'm praying that through her that she'll grow and we can reach her husband. I'm not saying that believers don't sin, but I am saying that believers don't apostatize. They can't, because he is able to keep us from falling. Turn over a couple pages to 1 Peter 1. Back a couple pages. First Peter 1, verse 3. said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively or a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now listen, here's your inheritance. My dad's always said when he dies, he's going to take all of his bills, divide them five ways. I'm looking forward to that inheritance. As a believer, look at the inheritance you have, folks. It is incorruptible. There's no decay. Okay? It is undefiled. There's no imperfection. It fadeth not away. And look at this. It is reserved in heaven for you. Man alive. That's pretty secure, isn't it? But notice verse 5. Who are kept by their own power? Everybody that teaches you've got to have Christ plus something, that's what they're saying this verse says. Okay? He says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. What's the point, folks? Because of the nature of God, this is a great term, it's a military term, we are kept, we are garrisoned about, and we are protected by the mighty power, the dynamite of God, and he's saying, you are kept by his power. He's doing the keeping. Let me read to you John 10:27. This is familiar to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. By the boy, again, there's some preaching there. You know, somebody says, well, I'm a believer. I'm one of his sheep, and they don't care what God says. We've got a problem. Because he said, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and I give, and they follow me. Boy, there's some more preaching right there, okay? And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now that's a guarantee. Look. It says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Who's holding on to who? My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Look, friend, if you are a true believer, and the last thing I want today to do tonight is give assurance to someone who's not a child of God. If there's no fruit in your life, if there's no desire for the things of God, if you live a wicked lifestyle and there's no conviction, I'm not trying to give you assurance. But if you are a child of God and you are a true child of God, I've got good news for you. He is able to keep you from falling. We're not done. Look at the second thing. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He's able to preserve true believers. He's able to present true believers faultless. Now, preservation takes place during our life on this world. The presentation is going to be in heaven. Okay? In other words, he keeps us here and he's taken us there. Okay? Now, look at this. Now, this will shock you. Sit up, don't faint, okay? At this present time of my life, I am not faultless. I know you're shocked. I know you're shocked. Anybody that's known me for very long knows that I have faults and failures. There's no doubt about that. All of us do. In fact, I have wrong thoughts. I have wrong desires. Sometimes I have wrong actions. Sometimes I have wrong words. I'm not faultless. In fact, I'm far from it. If you think that I am, talk to my wife. She'll be glad to help you out and tell you. But I've got good news. Now, by the way, in the eyes of God, through the blood of Christ, he sees me as faultless, but I still have my faults. But here's the great news. There's going to come a day when the Lord comes back or my heart quits beating and I die, and I'm going to stand before a holy God of heaven, And Jesus Christ is going to present me to the Father as faultless, pure as the driven snow. You see, folks, when I got saved, Christ began a work in me of sanctification. Now, what's supposed to be occurring every day of my life is I'm to become more and more like Christ. I will never be like Christ totally till I get to heaven. But you know what the good news from Philippians 1:6 is? We are confident that he began a good work in us. He's going to do what? He's going to continue it. He's going to conclude it. He's going to finish it. In Romans 8:30, listen to this. Moreover, whom he did predestinate. Here's the process. He called. Them he called, he justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. It's in the past tense. It's like it's already done. Look, folks, he said, God is going to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now, think about this. Someday when I stand before God, the holy God of all the universe, I'm going to stand before him in joy. Think of all the pictures in the Old Testament, or some in the New Testament, when people saw God. How did they respond? Joy? Oh, wow, this is great. Fear and trepidation, because a sinful man was facing a holy God. Hey, I've got news for you. When I get to heaven, because of my faultless condition, I'll enter the very throne of heaven, in the very presence of God, with joy and rejoicing. Now, your question at this point ought to be, how can that be? How can he present you faultless? How is God able to preserve us and to present us faultless? Here's the second point, the reason for God's ability in verse 25. I told you, these are the two short ones. Don't panic. He says to the only wise God, what are the next two words? Our Savior. Our Savior. He is God. He is the supreme ruler of the universe, the only wise God. By the way, again, there are not multiple gods, folks. Pastor just preached on this. Allah, Muhammad, Buddha, you name them, folks, those are not God. There is one God. One God. And that's it. The creator of the universe, the eternal God, the holy God, and he is the one, we broke his law, we broke the relationship, and he moved to restore the relationship. And how did he do it? By sending his own son, Jesus Christ, to die for me. Jesus came, lived a perfect life, and died for me. I love 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, that's God, hath made him, that's Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What a wonderful... You know what happened on Calvary, folks? God poured out his wrath on Jesus Christ for my sin. The wrath I deserved, Jesus took. He took and he paid for every one of my sins. Isaiah says it so well, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, but he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. What a wonderful truth, folks. When I stand before God someday, he treats me today as I'm blameless, but hallelujah, someday when I stand before God, I am going to be blameless and holy because I will have received fully the righteousness of Christ. He took my sin. I receive his righteousness. And God, through Christ and the work of Christ, I am presented to him as blameless. Blameless. Now the third point, the final point, the result of God's ability. You're back in Jude. What happens? So what? So what's going to happen? To the only wise God, our Savior, be what? glory, which is honor and majesty and dominion and power, both now and forever and ever and ever. He said, look, because of this process, because of what Christ has done, who gets all the glory? By the way, if I go to heaven, which can't happen, on my own works, who gets the glory? If I do it on my own works, I get the glory. In this process, who gets the glory? Jesus Christ gets all the glory. God gets all the glory. All the praise, all the adoration, all the worship, all the majesty, the elevated position, the dominion, the sovereign rule, and the power, all authority. Why? Because God is able. He's able, folks, to keep you from falling. And he's able to present you faultless. Wow. What a wonderful salvation. And we have absolutely nothing to do with it except we just accept it. Aren't you glad we have a Savior who is merciful and long-suffering? A God who loved us so much that he made a plan of salvation that every person in the world could be involved in. Every person. And you know what we're going to be doing for all eternity? We just finished teaching Revelation. Revelation 5:11 says, and I beheld, heard the voice of angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that in them I heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever and ever and ever. And the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever and ever. If you're a believer here tonight, you know you're a child of God. I hope you're rejoicing. You're rejoicing in that you have a God who is able to keep you from falling. I mean, hallelujah, the angels fell, Israel fell, Sodom and Gomorrah fell, all kinds of apostates and false teachers are falling. But if you're a believer, hallelujah, you're not going to fall. You're not going to fall. You will make it to heaven. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, God is going to present you, or Christ is going to present you faultless, faultless, blameless, righteous. And by the way, that's the only way you can get into heaven, is to be faultless. There's no sin allowed into heaven. If you're a believer tonight, you ought to be rejoicing. You ought to be rejoicing, praising God. If you're here tonight and you're not sure you're a believer, the great news is tonight you can become one. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I know this is a Wednesday night crowd. More than likely, everyone here is a believer. And I hope you'll go away from this place praising God and rejoicing in the greatness of God and the greatness of our salvation. And I would encourage you to memorize these verses. Wow, what a passage. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. He's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. Faultless. Hallelujah. What a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting glory, 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 hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful truth in this passage. And Lord, I thank you that as believers, we know that you're going to take us to heaven. You're going to keep us in this life. Someday you're going to take us to heaven because you're able. You're able. I hardly know how to close this service. Let me do two things. One, are you positive that you are a child of God? I'm not saying, have you made a profession? I'm not saying, have you played the part? Do you have something that's real? I wonder tonight, how many of you can say, Gary, I, without a shadow of a doubt, I know that I'm a believer and I'm trusting in the fact that God's going to keep me from falling and present me faultless. If you're saying that in your heart, would you slip up your hand just a moment? No doubt in my mind. No doubt in my mind. Praise the Lord. Good. Praise the Lord. I wonder if there's one to say, Gary, I know, again, I know it's a Wednesday night crowd. I don't know why the Lord led me to preach this tonight, except it's just been such an encouragement to my heart. Is there one that said, Gary, I'm not sure, but I'd like to be. Very quickly. Not sure, but I'd like to be. Let's sing together. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. I didn't cover these verses in Jude. You can look this way. But in the couple verses right before this, what does he tell us to do? On some, having compassion, make a difference. And our job this week, Brother Gibbs said, is to make Jesus look good. I'm going to have to preach on that someday, too. That's a great thought. Glorify the Lord. And tell those around you that don't have Christ about this wonderful, wonderful salvation that we have. That's what this is all about, folks. Wherever that card went, I did have one. That's what that reaching your Jerusalem is all about. Wouldn't it be a shame to live by someone for 20 years and they die and go to hell and you never told them about the God who could keep them from falling and present them faultless? Let's get busy, all right? Lord, we just praise you tonight. Thank you for the wonderful salvation that we have. And oh God, I'm so glad it's not my work to get saved or to keep saved. It's faith in what you've done. And Lord, I am so grateful that you're able to keep me from falling. You're able to keep me from apostatizing into unbelief and rejection of the truth of God. And then, Lord, you're able to present me faultless. Someday when I stand before God, the God of the universe, through the blood of Christ, I will be faultless. I'll be blameless. I'll be righteous and will be able to enter into heaven, not because of my works, but because of the work of Christ. My, what a wonderful salvation. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be faithful this week, spreading the good news, the gospel, telling people all around us about this wonderful salvation, and that other folks might become children of God. Bless our pastor as he speaks again in the morning, and as he ministers there, and give him safety as he travels back. Bless our church family. God, help us to be ambassadors for Christ this week, I pray. Bring us across the path of someone who needs Christ, and help us to be faithful in giving out the word, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you, folks. Thank you for coming tonight.